This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope.
Guys, I'm sorry. No.
There's a mistake.
It's Sal Capaccio.
This is not a joke. This is not a joke. I'm afraid they read the wrong thing.
This is not a joke.
It's Sal Capaccio and the Bulldog.
Still a great night.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Into the 5 o'clock hour we go. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope is away. Sal is here to play. Just for a couple more hours. Tomorrow, Sal will be out at Ted's Hot Dogs on Union Road in Cheektowaga. While I'm here, Sal will be hanging out. Slinging dogs.
I better go to the gym tomorrow morning because I'm about to down some 91-cent hot dogs tomorrow. I'll tell you that.
I'll bet.
Oh, you're gonna hit it up. It is National Hot Dog Day tomorrow, so all the different Ted's locations in Western New York have 91-cent hot dogs all day, but I'm going to be at the Union Road location from 3 to 6.
I was confused because I saw some Twitter activity today claiming National Hot Dog Day, and that really confused me because I know that you're at Ted's tomorrow.
Well, we're going to celebrate it tomorrow, so
yeah, right.
I know that.
That's all that matters. 91-cent hot dogs at Ted's, whatever day it is.
That's right.
You know what day it is? It's 91-cent hot dog day. Let's make that it's National 91-cent hot dog day at Ted's.
Yes.
That's what you got. So anyway, Sal's here hanging today, and we'll chat with him tomorrow because, you know, he'll be hanging out at Ted's, and we'll have access to him. So, you know, bills are on the table here. 803-0551, 888-550-2550, and curious to get your input, Sal, and certainly the audience is welcome to participate here. We are guest-free for the next hour. We had a good 45 minutes there of guest activity, but we're in the clear until Brian Koziel and Mike join us at the top of the hour at 6 o'clock to get Brian's picks for the British Open with our golf bet. And I'm curious, you know, the quarterback situation, the Bills drafting Josh Allen, moving up to do so, highest pick they've ever spent on a quarterback. There's going to be a lot of attention. I don't want to say all of the attention because guys like you will make sure it's not all we do is talk about quarterbacks, but it's going to be the focus of a lot of attention, and a lot of the subject matter on this show is going to be Josh Allen and how's he look and when does he play and how soon should he play, and on we'll go. Outside of the quarterback situation, the Bills have There's question marks on this team. There's newcomers on this team. There's draft picks from this year. There's free agents. It's not a deep pool, but there's a couple of notables, especially on defense. Maybe one on offense, or maybe a couple on offense. I'm curious, of the new guys on this team, Sal, who do you think is going to be the most impactful player, the most impactful newcomer on the team, and who do you think the Bills need the most impactful newcomer to be? So it's two slightly different questions.
And I think the biggest impact is going to be Star Lotulelei. He's the biggest newcomer that's going to have the biggest impact. I don't know if they need him to be. I think he will. I think they might need Trent Murphy to have the biggest impact. Mm-hmm. They have to get to the pass rusher better. But to me, Star Lotulelei will allow everybody to do their jobs better, more efficiently, and have everyone make a really big impact around him, such as a guy like Tremaine Edmonds, who I think can have a sensational year. I think he's going to be really, really good, but a lot of that can be attributed to what's going to be in front of him and Star Lotulelei. The best thing we might be able to say about Star is we're not going to be talking about him a lot because he's going to be doing his job, tying people up. He's not going to get tons of stats, and he's going to allow everybody else to kind of do what they need to do behind him.
You went back and watched some film on him.
I did.
At Carolina.
I did, and I wanted to see, you know, why people were saying, Carolina Panthers fans were saying, well, you know, he just doesn't make a lot of plays. It's not that big of a loss. And, okay, well, let's see what's going on here. And what I found was he's just super unselfish. He just does his job. He He doesn't get hooked, which means he keeps his shoulders where they're supposed to be, and he doesn't allow an offensive lineman to turn him and get to the linebacker, basically. He just stays in front of him, keeps his body square, keeps shuffling down the line, and makes everybody move with him, which allows the linebacker behind him to stay clean. And I think it's a really great trait to have as a defensive lineman, and I think at this day and age, it might be rare as well. And by the way, he got paid. I mean, you don't have to have all these stats to get paid. So the Bills saw that. And I think the biggest endorsement for Star Lotulelei is the fact that the team that paid him was his old defensive coordinator who had top five defenses and got to a Super Bowl with him sitting up front in the middle of the defense. So I think that's a huge endorsement for him. I think Star Lotulelei is going to be a really good player for this team, but someone that people will call the radio station and say, well, how come I don't see this guy making plays and he's making $10 million a year? Well, because he's not going to be asked to make plays. He's going to be asked to do everything he's supposed to do to, I'm not saying just tie people up. Yes, there are going to be times he makes plays and you'd like him to do that. His job is going to be making everybody else's job easier, though.
Right. And that's not something that necessarily gets a lot of attention, but I have a feeling because you're bringing it up, McDermott will probably be ready to go out of his way to compliment the job he's doing if it's going well. You know, if their defense, like what's realistic for their defense this year with him in the middle and Edmonds as a rookie in the center of it there calling the plays. We know the safeties are very good. We know we've got at least one very good corner in Tre'Davious White. Not sure we've got a guy that's been pretty good, but has sort of been lost in the wilderness for a couple of years. And Vontae Davis at the other corner. How good? Like, I think if you want to get excited about the Bills for this year with the uncertainty we've got on offense, even add the uncertainty around LeSean McCoy to that, that is certainly a whole other layer of uncertainty. What's going to happen, end up happening there. I think you have to be thinking that the defense is going to be really good. And how good do you think they can be?
I think they can be top half of the league, top 15. I think they could even possibly sneak into the top 10 if they, with the talent they have, and if they can especially get to the passer a little bit better. They really need to be able to do that. They didn't get there as much as they needed to last year. They can fight to be a top 10 defense in this league. I think they have that type of talent. They're going to have to stay healthy. They don't have a lot of depth. That's what scares me on the defense. Linebacker, secondary, safety, you have a little more depth, I think, than corner. But if you have injuries in your back seven, you know, your linebacker and your corners and your safeties, I think that's where this team is going to struggle. If they can stay healthier than a normal team, I think they have a chance to be a top 10 defense. They should be in the top half of the league. I'm looking at their rankings from last year. They just weren't good. 29th in the league in rushing yards per game given up. 25th in rushing yards per play, 20th passing yards per game, and 19th passing yards per play. Sacks per pass attempt, second to last. You got to improve on that. That is the key to the entire defense this year. I shouldn't say that. There are two things they really have to do better. Get to the passer, and they got to be better in the middle, but I'm totally convinced they're going to be. Starr and Tremaine Edmonds together should make them a better team in the middle.
803-0551, 888-550-2550 if you want to play along. Most impactful newcomer on the Bills in 2018, you know, outside of the quarterback situation, because we all know that that would be the easy answer, and we will certainly exhaust the possibilities at quarterback maybe as soon as tomorrow. Who knows? Maybe as soon as 5:30. Ken is first up this segment. Hi, Ken. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
Thank you, guys. Hey, you guys are a great team. Great to listen to you guys.
Thank you.
I like the idea Sal has about Starr being impactful, but I think that could open up the door for Harrison Phillips to live up to his reputation from Stanford when he was a tackling machine. Plus, it'll also give Kyle Williams a little bit more rest, and hopefully he'll have a lot more in his tank left this year.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing I'll tell you. I brought this up yesterday too, Ken. Kyle has not shut the door to playing beyond 2018. I mean, he's going to go year by year here, and we're going to see. Harrison Phillips is really interesting. People have referred to him, I think, a little bit too much as the, you know, the little Kyle Williams, the clone of Kyle Williams, however you want to say it, right? A younger version. I think it's gone a little bit too far in that direction. He's his own man. He's going to blaze his own path, and he's a good football player. I do think they have good depth on the defensive line right now, though, with Starr, with Kyle Williams, with Harrison Phillips. I think that Adolphus Washington was a better player than I thought he would be last year for this team. I think they have some guys there that, you know, they can use as a nice, healthy rotation. So I think that the point is right, that, you know, if they use this D-line right, the way that Sean McDermott likes to use his D-linemen and shuffle them in or out, in and out, you could be looking at a nice little season for a rookie in Harrison Phillips and for Kyle Williams to say, hey, you know, I still have some that I can give for 16 games.
I forgot about Adolphus Washington. That's right. He's still...
Yeah.
If they're going to rotate guys like they did last year, that was a big thing with, like, we were always monitoring the number of snaps Darius was getting. Mm-hmm. Well, Darius was here, and he was only on the field for 46% of the snaps or whatever number it was. It was never enough snaps to justify what they were paying him. But the point of that is they were rolling guys in.
Yeah.
So... If they've got four guys maybe that they can trust, that they can use some different combinations there, that that could matter for them.
Do you remember when I did the long piece on the trades? You know, mm-hmm. Brandon Bean talking, yes, about the trades. One of the things he said to me that I didn't print, actually, that I think is relevant here, is I asked him about trades you didn't make. You know, what about some of the things you didn't make? And the reason I didn't print it was there was really nothing. He said, well, you always have little tiny conversations, but nothing that really amounted, mm-hmm, that we thought we were doing anything. He said, but what does happen sometimes is a team calls you about a guy and you say, well, I mean, what would you really want? We don't really want to trade him, but what would you be willing to give? And then it gets out there that you're trying to deal him. And he said, that's what happened with Adolphus Washington. Do you remember... last year, right at the beginning of the year, there were reports that said the Bills tried to trade Adolphus Washington during training camp. That's what the report was. Someone nationally said, huh, the Bills were shopping Adolphus Washington. And in this conversation I had with Brandon Bean on, yeah, the record, he said to me, he said, that wasn't true. He said what happened was someone called us about Adolphus Washington. We said we really don't want to trade him. I mean, what would you give us? Because we're not interested. The conversation pretty much ended, and then that team must have said,
right,
the Bills were talking about, told a media member that the Bills were talking about trading Adolphus Washington.
Or an agent or something. Right. Like somebody
said,
got
so,
wind of it.
So they, yeah, actually had to explain to both Adolphus and his agent that they weren't trying to trade him.
Yeah. Well, I thought you were going to end up there is that sometimes you've got a guy – this would have been a really big revelation, I think, for an executive of an NFL team to give you. But sometimes you've got a guy on your team that – you may not think like that highly of, and a team calls you interested in trading for him, and the player they offer to you for him, you go like, wow, you think he's this good? And then it makes you like look at your player differently. Like, is this guy better than we thought?
Maybe
he was?
That happens.
Like,
you wouldn't tell me that, though, probably.
Like, I wonder if that has ever happened.
I don't know. That's interesting.
Would love that piece that you did at WGR550.com was so good.
Thank you.
Because there's so much that you can get out, but at the same time, there's only so much that they're going to give you.
Mm-hmm.
And I like what that piece does, is that it makes me think about how much else there must be that really goes on, you know?
That's right.
Because there's got to be, I mean, I would just love hockey, football, baseball, whatever. I think about hockey and football more because we've got teams and I'm more interested in hockey and football, obviously, because of that. Like, what deals are really there? Like, did Darcy Regier really turn down Tyler Seguin for Thomas Vanek at some point? Like, did that really happen?
Like, I haven't heard that one.
I would love... Oh, boy. You've never heard that?
I don't think I have.
Jeremy's been big on that for quite a while. And I don't know, like, where he's got that from.
Right.
But it's been just sort of bouncing around out there for years. And that just makes me spin. Like, wow. Could you have imagined that?
I have heard that Darcy offered Vanek and high picks the year that for the number one pick the year Patrick Kane was coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's true either.
I think that's true.
That would have been.
I know they aggressively. I never heard Vanek specifically.
Right.
But I heard that they very aggressively tried to get in the spot to make that pick.
And as I've alluded to many times on this radio station, it is well known, Jeremy has said it as well, the Bills were very, very close to trading up to draft Ben Roethlisberger mm-hmm. in 2004 and actually should have, but basically Tom Donahoe didn't do it. And that's where that ends. There's a lot more to that that I've been told over the years, but basically that's the sad part of it. That's the bottom line.
Right.
That should have happened, and mm-hmm. it didn't happen.
Yeah. I know they wanted him. I know they liked him. I never really knew, or I guess I've never heard definitively that they got cold feet or like they couldn't make the deal. Like that they couldn't get there because Pittsburgh wanted him. So they couldn't get in the spot. Like I can't remember.
It was to make a deal. They had a deal in place.
To
jump Pittsburgh with Houston.
Okay.
Houston was going to trade it, and Tom Donahoe basically backed out.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes, yep. according to what I've been told.
That's a tough one. That's tough. I don't like hearing that.
I know. And then Houston drafted Donta Robinson, and then Roethlisberger went with the next pick, I believe.
Right. Okay. You can tell that's taken a lot out of me.
Yeah.
It's 14 years ago, but it still hurts. Brendan, hi. You're up next on WGR. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. Hey, Sal, question for you. You guys were talking a little bit about the D-line and, you know, people stepping up. One of the questions I had is and was kicking around the idea of Charles Johnson. He's out there in free agency. Could you see that being, you know, since they've taken a lot of these ex-Carolina players, do you see him as somebody that we may bring in at training camp for a little more of DN depth? You know, thanks for taking my call. Hang up and listen.
Sure I'll thing. Say this. I thought that was an option early on in free agency, early on, but I just don't know now. I mean, they went out and they spent the money on Trent Murphy. They brought in Owe Adigizua. They still have Shaq Lawson. They still have Eddie Yarborough. They still have Jerry Hughes. I just don't know. I think that's the kind of guy that you go sign if someone goes down with an injury. You know, Doug Whaley said to me one time, and he's right. He said, I don't know who we were talking about. And I said, why does this guy, why is he still out there? Nobody signed him. He goes, you have to remember, these veterans know how to keep their body in shape. Teams aren't going to, they don't need to get him in camp, right? Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. They know that guy's going to be ready to roll. And I would think about a guy like Charles Johnson for this, where you get an injury, you need someone to come in, you can call him up and be pretty safe and sure, like Anquan Boldin last year, that he's going to come in and he's going to be in pretty good shape and you don't have to worry about it. And I wouldn't totally discount it. I think it'd have to be a certain set of circumstances that would have to happen first.
Yeah. I mean, he's 32. He's 4 years removed from
right
eight and a half sacks. He's 5 years removed from 11. There's not been a lot of production there
seasons. I don't think you're signing him to be your number one pass rusher.
Right. Just someone to supplement.
Someone who knows a defense.
Right.
That can help out, that can be a body, that can, you know, be someone you can plug in. Interesting, going back to Adolphus Washington, last year, the percentage of snaps by defensive linemen on the Bills, Kyle Williams, clearly number one, 68% of the snaps. Number two was Adolphus Washington at 45%, close to 46% of the snaps. He played the second most mm-hmm. snaps of any defensive lineman on the Bills last year.
I have to think at Kyle's age, they do not want him leading the rotation in percentage of snaps anymore.
It'll be star. It has to be star now.
Right.
I would think Kyle would be second, though.
Yeah.
He's going to start.
Right.
Right. And here's the thing. I don't know if you want Kyle Williams taking on 68% of the snaps. I think the number's high.
Right.
The number's a little high now, right?
Right, sure.
Besides him being the leader, whatever, I think you probably want him to be closer to 55 to 60.
Right.
Maybe 60, you know, at this point. Six out of every 10.
That's where the caller who brought up Harrison Phillips, maybe that's where he comes in.
Yeah.
If he's effective and they feel good about him, maybe they don't have to lean on Kyle as much and Kyle's
right.
fresher and like that's – everybody wins. Right?
That's right.
I got a fresher, better Kyle Williams for the playoff push. What?
You're already giving him every Wednesday off pretty much.
Right.
I mean,
sure, whatever.
You know,
even Thursday too.
Or maybe it's Thursday. Whatever day it is, he usually gets a day.
Yeah, fine.
He usually gets a day.
Give him two, yeah. Three, whatever. You know, he's good. He knows what's what.
I mean, I look at these. I got these snap counts in front of me. Preston Brown. I mean, if you go back and look at his 4 years as a Bill, he was over 1,000 snaps, which is really, really a lot every single year since his rookie year. He basically played every snap except for in blowouts when he came out and here or there to take a play off. 99% of the snaps last year he was in on. But that's pretty much what he was for 4 years. And I'm wondering, can a 20-year-old do that? Can you put a 20-year-old on the field for 1,000 snaps, 98 to 99% of the snaps? I think that's a challenge to think about. You got to have plan B for Tremaine Edmonds. Right now, that's Tanner Vallejo, maybe. That's Ramon Humber.
Okay.
I mean, you could put him in there, but he's Matt Milano right now because Matt Milano's injured. Which, by the way, is an underrated storyline headed to camp. The fact that Matt Milano got hurt week 17 and missed the playoff game and then got hurt hamstring again, both times hamstring, and missed all of minicamp.
Was he around for OTAs?
Yes.
So he got hurt in OTAs. He
did something, and I don't think it's severe. Coach has said it's minor. I'm sure they've said it's precautionary more than anything. But he is hurt, and he didn't practice.
Hamstring.
And it's hamstring.
Same injury.
That's right. And I watch All or Nothing with the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know if you've seen it. It's really good.
I know it.
And Sean Lee, this really good linebacker who just could not escape hamstring injuries and was always hurt. And I'm like, please, Matt Milano, have good hamstrings because he could be really good, I think.
Yeah.
But it's an underrated storyline going into next week.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that, too. You got a thought for us on most impactful newcomers on the Bills, you know, aside from the quarterback position? We'd love to hear it. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Those are the numbers. This is the Shope and the Bulldog Show. Sal is in for Mike. I am the Bulldog, and this is WGR.
Each tournament I keep coming back to, I keep feeling a little bit better because I'm starting to play some golf again. My feels are much better than they were at the beginning of the year, and I feel like I have a better understanding of my game and my body and my swing much more so than I did at Augusta.
Tiger Woods?
Yeah, I could tell that.
I'm out of practice.
There's a guy on, there's a comedian, he's on Twitter, Connor something, I got to find his name. He did a video, and he pretends to be all these different golfers and does impressions and did interviews
them,
and it's really good. Super good.
I was watching that the other day, and something interrupted me, and I couldn't finish watching it. And I still have it saved in my Twitter feed.
Funny.
I saw Dustin Johnson. I saw Ian Poulter.
Yes.
I saw Mickelson.
And Tiger?
I might have stopped when Phil started.
Laugh when he does Tiger.
He was looking through the rule book or something as he's Phil, right, talking about apologizing for the mess. Yes.
Okay, and he started crying.
That was funny. That was really good. British Open, yeah, that'll be... What does that go, like 4 in the morning or something our time? Like it'll be
something like that.
It'll be going when you get up tomorrow.
Yeah.
This weekend is where this cable situation in Canada is really going to piss me off if this thing does not get.
So what is the deal? I don't understand. What's the problem?
We have the there's layers of frustration here for me. My wife has set this up. It's just one of the things, like I'm sure you and your wife, like, you handle that.
Right.
I'll take care of that.
Yes.
You do that. Right. So she's been in charge of internet in Canada. And so a couple of years ago, she landed this deal, and it was supposed to be for June through September, or maybe June through, it had to be 6 months or something. We couldn't get it for just, we're only going to be here for 2 months.
Okay.
It had to be for, so whatever, sit half the year. Cable, phone, and internet. Okay, all I really want is the internet. I don't really care. I'm not up here to watch TV. I don't give a crap.
Right.
Right. But then, we've had it a couple of, the golf, soccer, once it starts, I can watch English Premier League on the weekend mornings while we're still up there, because that starts up in a few weeks. And Blue Jays games, I like having the cable. Well, for some reason, I don't know why, we kept getting billed all winter. Like, we got murdered on this bill to the tune of, for what amounts to 3 months of use, we might have paid $1,500.
Wow.
I mean, we just got crushed. Because it's one of those things, it showed up. I look at the bank statement, they took out $191 again.
Right.
Like, it's January. Like, what is going on? So she'd call them and try to get it sorted out. And, like, you know, we're busy. I'm not staying on top of her about it. And then, like, another month would go by, and we thought it was taken care of. And then it was another it took out another 191. Like, so I added it up. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is a disaster. Well, we finally got it. That stopped in, like, I don't know, February. So it's turned off now. Okay, great. We're going to be back up there in July. Can we get it turned back on? Sure, that's not a problem. Just call us, right? So we get up there, we call. Yeah, it should be on. It's not on. Like, no internet, no cable, no phone, no nothing.
Gosh.
So finally, they send a tech out to address the situation, and he gets the internet to work. Okay, great. And it's just sort of vague about the TV. It's like, well, if it's not working now, that it might take a couple days. Just check in a couple days, and if it doesn't work, then call us and we'll take care of it. Okay. So a couple days go by. I'm sorry, this is repetitive. I told this story the other day on the air, but you asked. So I didn't tell the whole part about how much it cost us last winter, which is adding to my level of frustration.
I'm still thinking about that.
I know.
Oh my
God. Can you imagine the guitar I could? Anyway, so I called on Friday, and it was just the least satisfying customer service experience maybe ever.
Wow.
Just no resolution, no ability to, like, I might as well have called you. I could have called you and said, Sal, can you help me get my, I'm not going to say the name.
Right.
Can you help me get my cable turned on? Just make some noises and, like, click the keyboard a couple times and then, let me put you on hold, Chris. Okay, Sal, I'll be right here. Then you just go play with Max for 20 minutes and then come back.
Like, Max really couldn't do anything for you.
No,
sorry.
I don't think we're going to be able to help you. I'll tell you what we'll do, though. We won't charge you for the cable TV for this month. And, like, I'm on the phone going, oh, thanks for not charging me for the thing you can't turn on for me. That's nice of you. I appreciate that you're not going to make me pay for the TV. By the way, you were charging me for in the winter when the house was covered in snow and we weren't there and you weren't supposed to. Anyway, I want the TV this weekend because the British Open in Canada is on TSN. I think that's where it's usually been anyway. So I'm going to need cable. It's not going to be on Channel 7.
Is the internet working?
The internet is working.
You can stream it, I'm sure, right? It's not that good of an internet, so you can stream?
No, that might work. Most of the time that I try to stream, I run into, there is, I don't know how, look, I'm a 53-year-old dude. I'm not that savvy. I run into, this video is not, can't be played on your device. It's an American device, registered in the U.S., I'm trying to get a Canadian stream, and it's just like,
I hear you.
So maybe I would just like to have the TV. I feel like I already paid for it all winter while we were getting billed $200 a month.
Yeah.
I'm going to go into computers. Yeah. Not a fan. So anyway, what were we talking about? We were talking about something that was...
The British Open.
Golf, the British Open. Yeah. All right, we'll have Brian and Mike on in a little bit to talk about it. You said somebody picked Tiger?
I don't know. I don't think it, no, I,
no,
I just
okay.
I just was talking about the impression that he made.
Oh, okay.
The guy
all
made
right.
the impression
Sorry.
Of Tiger.
All right.
But I enjoy watching the British Open. I don't like the fact that it's on so early, but I know there's nothing you can do. It's over there. Right. But it's like one of the best things about the Saturday Sunday major is kind of unwinding and watching in the evening.
See, I like it because I can get up and nobody's up and I just it's like soccer for me. I get up and it's 7 in the morning like, "Hey, the bleeders are playing." Like,
I'm the other way around.
They're going to be done by lunchtime, and that's
great
for me. I
want to see, like, oh, they're teeing off at 11 a.m. All right, that means you know what? I got something to do, but I could catch the back nine for Dustin Johnson or whoever.
Right, sure.
You know, and, all right, well, it's going to finish up at 7 o'clock tonight. Perfect.
Yeah.
Lines up, eat dinner, watch the end of it. I know you're in Europe, so it doesn't happen like that. I understand the time challenge with it, but it just feels like it's over too early on Sunday.
Right. I hear you. I've always been partial. It's part of the reason the World Cup was so appealing to me. I love when sports that really matter, Wimbledon, sports that really matter are on at odd, like they're on at 8 o'clock in the morning. I get up and like, okay, Federer's playing. This
Would you rather
awesome.
Have the NFL kick off early like that without it, without your job interference? I mean, you have to be on the air or something, do post game shows.
Sure, for well, sure.
I even would. With that, you
yes,
might.
Even
gotcha.
With that, yeah, yeah, I would love that.
Right.
I'm,
sure,
I'm done at 3 o'clock.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm a big fan because well, I'm at an age where I get up.
Sure,
I get up early. I just this is what I do. Except for yesterday when it blew me away here. Brian maybe has some advice for me, and this is probably going to go well. Brian, hi, thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
All right, so all you need to do is go get a Roku box, and on there they have the app. All you need is internet. So if you don't have actual cable television coming in, you don't need a box. All you need is a Roku.
I have this. This is the Fire Stick, right?
Yeah.
That's what I have. We have it. We love it. Yep. I didn't even realize that. Thank you, Brian. I didn't know that that would be an option for Bulldog in this situation.
Is that something you plug into your laptop?
It's something you plug in as a it's a USB device to plug it into your TV.
Oh.
And then you no longer need a cable box.
Either. Correct.
So
it's remote.
If it's set up now, the FTC has required cable companies to be able to have an app to stream, and you don't have to do it through your laptop. It'll come right to your television.
I'm not familiar with the FCC rules on this. He can do that in Canada just the same as I and you do it here, right?
Exactly. Yep. Yep. Exactly. All right. Thanks.
All right, thank you. I appreciate
if you
that.
Have more questions about it, like off the air, I'll help you. But yeah. Seriously, we love it.
Yeah.
We have the Fire Stick, and you get all the Amazon stuff, all the Netflix stuff, and any app you want, ESPN, whatever. And you can watch any TV you want.
The TV that I have at the cottage.
Understood.
Doesn't have a USB. Does not have a USB port.
I got you. You can take one up there.
It's a TV we got as a wedding gift in 1999.
Oh, okay.
It's the last. Right. It's the last of the dinosaurs. It is a Brontosaurus. It's one of those Sony tube 32-inch TVs.
God.
That honestly, I moved it up there 10 years ago, and doing that almost killed me. And like the idea of even moving it from mm-hmm. where it is and replacing it.
Let me ask you this. Do you have another TV in your home here in Buffalo that you could just easily take up there?
Absolutely.
That has one?
Absolutely.
Shouldn't, it's not a hard lift. You can do it. The TVs these days cannot be that big.
No,
right?
I know, but okay. the TV, I don't know how I'm going to get that TV out of where it is. It's so big and heavy. It's not so big. It's hard to carry with two people.
What I'm saying is, why do you have to get it out? Just add another TV somewhere. Put it in another room. Who cares?
There's nowhere else to put it, really.
It's becoming more and more difficult
My wife's not going to sign up for a TV in the bedroom at the cottage. She's already got to live with me watching Sabres games in bed at home. You know, I don't think it's not going to fly.
Which I have to make the move next Thursday to St. John Fisher. That's my move for the summer.
Right.
I
and that's Roku stick time for you?
No. They have cable. It comes out of the wall.
Oh, okay.
I just bring my wire. It's like you just put the cable in. But I do have a TV that's a little TV that has a USB if I want to, and I can do all that. And I bring it. I bring my blankets. I bring a mini fridge. Oh, I got to get that now.
Yeah, we could easily grab a different TV that has and do that. I just, whatever. I'm being difficult here. But the TV that I've got there now is massive and heavy, and I may die.
Has it got one of the big tubes behind
it? Oh, yeah, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it weighs like...
Okay.
It's
I hear you.
Unbearably heavy. And so bad that when I was taking it to Canada originally, at the border, like, there's this massive TV in the passenger seat of my truck, and the guy's like, what's the deal with the TV? And I said, if you are going to try to make me pay tax on this TV, I'm kicking it out of the truck, and you can have it. And the guy laughed. Like, thankfully, he could have been it was not.
Right.
I'd just taken it out of the house, like, 5 minutes earlier and drove to the border. And I'm like, I'm not giving you a dime for this. You want it? You can have it.
And I'll just chalk it up to...
I dropped it. I broke it. Sorry, honey, we don't have the TV. Anyway, I got to get it out of there. All right, we'll take a timeout. Sales in for Mike. I'm the Bulldog, and this is WGR.
Still to be determined as to who's going to play quarterback for Alabama. So you can ask all the questions about it, but it's still to be determined. All right. Two of them basically missed spring practice due to an injury. Jalen had a good spring. Both guys have had great summers, and we're just going to have to see who wins the team in fall camp. So we'll see.
Nick Saban being Nick Saban. Talking about quarterback. Of course, they won the national title. Their backup quarterback came off the bench and was electrifying, and they won. That's how they won. So picking right up where they left off, I guess, with Alabama and Nick Saban.
He's interesting in the media. He's super interesting.
Yeah.
And what happened? He was in the news. One of you guys might remember this. Someone prank called him. A kid prank called him. Did you hear about this a couple weeks ago? This
no.
happened. Apparently, this is. You could probably find the audio somewhere. This happened though.
I heard about
kid
this.
Prank called him, and pretended to be a dad who was looking for a scholarship for his kid who's a kicker, and. Apparently, Nick Saban was like super nice to him. I was like, "Wow, oh yeah," I have to look to ask my staff. Like, didn't blow him off or anything. I don't know how the kid got his number,
yeah.
or anything like that. But it showed a pretty good human side to Nick Saban that he wasn't like, "Dude, go kick rocks. Why are you calling me? I'm Nick Saban. I can recruit the best kid in the country." But he was like, "Hey, but give the kid credit for thinking about." A kicker, because he's probably already got the best linebacker and running back and offensive lineman.
Right.
Maybe a kicker falls through the cracks. But he did. But he's interesting in those press conferences.
Yeah.
And he's Nick Saban, and he's the best college football coach, and he wins all the time, so he can pretty much say whatever he wants.
Right. We were talking about golf there last segment before ended up talking about Rokus and mm-hmm. whatever. You played Grover today.
I did. I had my first Grover experience. And I didn't realize it's a par 69. It's not a par 72. They don't have as many long holes.
Mm-hmm.
However, there is a 230-yard par 3, Bulldog. What in the world? Like, that's got to be
on a course that's not long.
Right, which that's is weird. And I don't know this. Someone can tell me yes or no. It's got to be the longest par 3 in Western New York. I mean, I can't imagine one is longer than that. And, I played with a old teacher of mine. It was one of my elementary school teachers and coaches, basketball coaches, and now he's retired and he loves to play. And we went out and we had a great day together. And he's really good. He shot an 80. I shot an 85, and I'm not too unpleased with that because it was a course I'd never played before, even though it was shorter. I think it's kind of like shooting probably 89 or 90, maybe 91 at most places, but. When I go to a course for the first time, if I can break 90, I'm pretty darn happy. So 85 and a par 69 wasn't too bad. It was a nice day out there. The greens are a little bit tough. They have a couple of greens that are, I mean, like 45-degree angles.
Really?
I mean, it's like, luckily you're not driving a stick shift up one of these things because you're rolling down.
Really?
Yeah, it's really weird. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, I drive by it all the time. I've never played there.
The U.S. Open was held there mm-hmm. in 1912. They had the youngest U.S. Open champion ever, John McDermott, I believe was his name, ironically. And at that time, the course was, do you know where it was located?
You mentioned this yesterday.
It was Buff State. It was actually at Buff State. Someone emailed me to tell me. It was where Buff State is. And at that time, it was called the Country Club of Buffalo. Then it was sold to the city, and then it was moved to where it is now because of the maybe the Pan Am Games, but that would have been earlier.
Oh, the Pan Am Games
was in 1901. But either way,
right.
it moved, and now it's Grover, and it's county owned.
Right? Yeah, that's always been weird to me. It's like Elma. And Grover are
the only ones.
Right.
It was in good shape though. It was in good shape.
Yep.
People told me, you know, it's brown and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, there's spots on there, but we've had no rain.
Right. What do you know?
So, I mean,
right.
It was in good shape, and I enjoyed playing. I had a really good day. The only thing is, be prepared. A lot of people play it. It was a slow day. I mean, you're gonna. There's backup, and you're going to have to wait. But I'm sure that happens on nice days like this all around Western New York.
Yeah, right. All right, good. Well, more golf on the way. We're like being swallowed whole by golf. And thanks to the caller who said there's like an old-school Roku hookup for an old... you know, tube TV. Somebody called Joe off the air to let us know that. We've got Brian Koziel, and I think Mike is going to be on the line too. We've got our annual majors golf bet, and it's Brian's turn to pick. The British Open begins tomorrow morning, so Brian's got to get on the record with his 10 golfers, and Mike and I will hope that his 10 golfers break their legs. No, I don't want to speak for Mike. It's a little harsh. We just hope none of them win so that we win money. that's how it works. So we'll tee that up for you. Wow, that was so hackish. I didn't mean that. Anyway, that's what's on the way next here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.